Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Protect your family's future with life cover from Zurich. Talk to a financial broker to find out more.
Tweet at Drive Time RTÉ.
You're very welcome back. Well, now, in his message to mark St. Patrick's Day, President Michael D. Higgins highlighted and condemned racism. He spoke about an increase in xenophobia and appealed for everyone to stand in solidarity with all those across the globe who are vulnerable and in need. This morning at St. Mary's Pro Cathedral in Dublin, Archbishop Dermot Farrell, the Archbishop of Dublin, said it behoved people not to forget the Irish immigration story when welcoming those who have recently come to this country seeking refuge. He pointed out that more than one and six of those living in the Dublin Diocese were born outside of Ireland, which he described in his homily as an astounding statistic. I spoke to the Archbishop a little earlier, and I began by asking him what prompted him to deliver this homily.
Well, over the last number of weeks, I've been looking at a number of protests, particularly here in Dublin, against our very migrants and refugees who have come to our land. And, you know, I'd been thinking about when was a good time to do it. And, you know, thinking about St. Patrick and his history here in Ireland, who was, you know, trafficking into our country and then decided to come back and, you know, hand on the faith here. I thought, well, that's a good time to actually, I suppose, because it's part of our faith. You know, that we have to have a feel for the migrants and the refugees if we're to live out the gospel.
Indeed, and I know that your own homily today follows quickly on the message of President Michael D. Higgins, who has also condemned racism and has challenged that increase in xenophobia. You mentioned the protests there, Archbishop, and what do you make of those protests, and in particular, you know, those some of those protesters who claim that in doing so, they are defending a Christian heritage?
Well, you know, the point I made today is that they're not actually defending a Christian heritage. What they're doing is they're actually stirring up hostility against all these people that have come to our shores. And to actually claim that they're having defending Christian heritage is a travesty, because that's a blatant lie. It's nothing to do with defending the heritage of the Christian faith and of a Christian Ireland. You know, there's many people who have made their homes here. Many of these people, I meet them in parishes every time I go out. They're very much part of the faith community. They have absolutely a deep Christian faith. And when you are, you know, denying, if you like, or excluding people, then you're denying us actually a central value in our faith. Because if you look at all the teachings of the Lord, he always welcomed strangers. The parables, the Samaritan and other parables, that was about welcoming the stranger.
You spoke today in your homily about the, what you described as the astounding statistic, the fact that more than one in six of those living in your Diocese of Dublin were born outside of Ireland. But you also seem to acknowledge the difficulties challenged by people here about how there is the challenge of a welcome, because it comes at a cost when many people in Ireland are also worrying about housing and health and education.
Yes, I did, but I use that also to, you know, that we have a responsibility to encourage politicians and those who are the leaders in our country to try and do better to deliver, you know, infrastructure and services, not just for the migrants, but for all people. You know, there were some disastrous decisions made in the past which have come home to roost now. And particularly I'm thinking of housing there, where, you know, we abandoned the whole notion of providing social housing and we left that to the market. And what you're seeing now is you're seeing the outturn of that particular policy coming home to roost, in, you know, many years later. And it's difficult to reverse that, I accept that, but we have to actually try and work out as best we can. We see it in our hospitals at the moment, you know, the overcrowding. We haven't enough hospital places to be able to deal with the number of people, both migrants and our own people, who are sick and sometimes need special care in hospitals.
As you say, there are those who have long waited for their needs to be met, and they worry too. Do you think, you know, when you see the many thousands of people, particularly coming from Ukraine, fleeing persecution, war, others who are fleeing natural disasters in their home countries, are we as a society doing enough to deliver support for those people?
Well, I think people on the ground, if you like, the Irish people are doing a lot, but there's only so much that the people on the ground can actually do, you know, that there is an infrastructural problem, and only something like big government can actually meet some of the needs. You can't expect the population on their own to meet some of the needs that are required here. They do help out, and they're very willing people accepting migrants and refugees into their houses, and etc. But over and above that, we also need strategies that need to come from government and from local authorities.
And what about the role of institutions like the church? You know, this time last year, Archbishop, the Minister for Integration, Rodrigo Gorman, said the government was in talks with religious orders about the use of their monasteries and convents to accommodate refugees and people fleeing the war in Ukraine. Are dioceses the religious orders that perhaps have those properties or other assets at their disposals? Do you think they are rising to that challenge which was inherent in your homily today?
Yes, they are. Many convents that are closed or not being used have been given over to refugees. Even beside me, as I look out the window here, the Mater Dei institution has 60 families resident there. In that building, it was formerly for religious education, which moved to the St. Patstrom Condra campus, and now it houses Ukrainian families. And even last year, I offered Clonliffe College to the government and to the local, to the city council. They didn't accept it or take it. I'm not sure of the reasons, but it's out of my control now. I don't have any role in that, unfortunately. And we have many houses that we have refugees in throughout the length and breadth of the diocese here.
And just finally, Archbishop, because I know you have many services and everything to attend this evening, our land is not some idealised monocultural fortress. That was one of your messages today.
Absolutely. You know, when you look at the history of this country, there are so many people that have come in here over the centuries, not just I'm talking about in the last few years, but if you think of the Normans and others who came in here and contributed to the formation of what Ireland is today. So it has all of that dimension that has made a huge difference to our land, to our culture, to our music, to our history, and to the whole development of the nation. But that's, I suppose, sometimes we get very hard to realise that, you know, sometimes you look at Ireland and you think it's a monoculture. When I was brought up, you'd have that notion. But it's only when you begin to study it and think and reflect on it, you realise that it's not a monoculture, and that there have been waves of people who have come to this land in various ways. And all of them in their own way have contributed very, very significantly to what Ireland is today.
Mirroring very much Archbishop Dermot Farrell, Archbishop of Dublin, our own emigration story. Many thank you for being with us this evening.
Not all, Dervin, and a happy St. Patrick's Day to you and to all your listeners.
That was Archbishop Dermot Farrell, Archbishop of the Dublin Diocese, speaking to me earlier. Let's take a quick break.